I believe this to be so. I know it is because I've talked to all of you, know different things personally in your life. And I know every one of you has at least seen God do something good one time in your life. Well, the thing is, you know, and every one of you has been pulled through something. And it looked like you're going to sink and God came through for you and God blessed you and God helped you. Well, you know, it's a slap in His face when we encounter things and we face things and we start to fret and we start to worry. We start acting like He's not the same God. He's the same God, amen? The rising temperature of the circumstance or the pressure of the storm does not change our God. Amen. It might change us, but it does not change Him. Amen. He is faithful and constant all the time. Glory to God. And a faith person, when the fire gets turned up hotter, they don't change their tune about their God. They still say, Father, you got me through this one. You'll get me through this one. You remember David, he felt the pressure in the storm, you know, and he said, you know, I'm not worried about that giant, you know, the same God that delivered me from the bear. The same God that delivered me from the lion is the same God that's going to deliver me from this giant. Amen? The same God that pulled you out one time is the same God that's going to pull you out two times. Same God that's pulled you out two times is the same God that's going to pull you out 50 times. He doesn't change. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Father, help us tonight. We rest in your faithfulness. Hallelujah. We rest in your faithfulness. And don't think that just because you missed it at times or because you did it wrong that God stopped being faithful. He's the same whether you're good or not good. Whether you succeed or don't succeed, He doesn't change. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's times we got to repent and get back in, but He's still just waiting, right? You know, the prodigal son really messed things up, didn't he? He did. He went, this isn't my message tonight, but there's utterance. Someone must have been praying. I'll tell you, you guys are good students. Praise God. But the prodigal son, he messed it up. You know, his daddy gave him his inheritance, right? And he went out and blew it all and just lived with, you know, sinful living and just not being a good steward of that and just kind of messed everything up. And he left, right? He walked away from something good and found out it wasn't so good walking away and that to leave his supply, you know. And we get a picture of the father because he was out there. Remember, he would just be happy to come back and eat what the pigs were eating from his dad's farm. And his dad said, no, you know, He saw him a far way off, and his dad didn't sit there and just, you know, get ready. Oh, he's got something coming. No, his dad ran to meet him. Why? To bring him back in. And remember, he came in. His son said, "I'm sorry. You know, I'll just let me eat what the servants eat. I'll eat what the pigs eat. Doesn't matter, you know." And his dad said, "No, you're back. We need to have a feast for you." That's the father's picture. When we're down, he doesn't kick us. He exalts us. Hallelujah. So don't let your mistakes and your failures and your disobedience and times where you missed it and times maybe where you haven't been faithful and you doubted God, you know, don't let those think that changed God didn't change God. He still loves you and still ready for you just to go on with Him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word. I mean, that's a sermon right there. We could just call it a night. But you know we can't do that. So hallelujah, because we got to follow the Holy Ghost. So Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you so much for your word tonight, for the utterance you've already had, for the sweet time of worship that we had, just loving on you, Father, just praising you. You're so faithful. We have so much to be thankful for. Father, we just are here tonight so humbly before your word. And Father, we need help. We're not here to magnify a minister or the name on the building. We're here to magnify Jesus. We're here to magnify the Holy Ghost. We're here to magnify you. We're here to magnify your word. So Father, those things be glorified. Less of us, more of you. And so Father, we look to you. Now, Father, I do know I have a part in this service and I have a part in this whole thing and as well as everybody else does. And my part tonight is to be faithful to say what you want me to say. So Father, speak to me. And I pray that I be the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, I desire to be a good FedEx man here tonight, Lord, to deliver the packages that you have on time. And so, Father, help me to be a good vessel tonight, Lord, and you'll always get the praise and the glory for it. Father, you're always so kind to speak to my heart and to not leave me with nothing to say and to stand up here and look like a fool. And so, Father, I give you the praise, and we thank you for it, Father. We love you and praise you tonight. Thank you for hitting bullseyes in people's hearts. We thank you for the new level of glory that we will walk into tonight when we leave this building. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can go to a popular scripture that we go to a lot around here, Mark chapter 4. Verse 35. And while you're turning there, I just want to mention about Sunday service. You know, we talked about trusting God, didn't we? Amen. If you didn't hear that, if you were in nursery or if you weren't here, you know, and you weren't able to catch it on live stream, make sure you're going back and listening to your mail. God had something for you that day. Amen. And we saw it pays to trust God, doesn't it? To do whatever He says to do. I mean, we saw that God has our best interests at heart, right? He's not saying something in His Word. You know, I always say this is the Word is blessing boundaries. Yeah. If you stay within the boundaries, you'll stay within the blessing. Yeah. And so when His Word instructs us to do stuff, you know, we know that we saw in the Word that there is a part for us to play. We got to do the Word. Right. It doesn't matter that there's a Word. Jesus said if you don't do it, that things will go bad for you. But if you do it, things will be good for you. And we saw those things on Sunday. But we're going to kind of build upon that service. And I just believe a lot of times that people don't do whatever God says to do. You know whatever He instructs you to do in the Word, maybe. You hear something about forgiveness, walking in love, something to do with your money. You know, God speaks to you something, and you know, you realize, man, you know, I've been putting work before God. I've been putting my recreation before God. I've been putting other things before God. And, you know, He tells you to change, but there's that fear, you know. There's pressure from family members. Your money's talking to you. Lots of things are talking to you. Different things like that, you know. And I truly believe that a lot of people don't do what God says to do and trust Him because of fear.
Yeah, that's good.
Fear is so loud and real at times. And so I want to deal with fear tonight. Amen. Because if right now, maybe, you know, we said on Sunday that when God gives us a word in the Bible or in our heart, that's a doorway, a blessing doorway, right?
Yes.
To walk through that door of obedience to the other side is always blessing. We saw that in the Bible, and I believe that people are sometimes hesitating to open that door and go through it because they're so afraid. You know, the devil's just been bombarding them. And so maybe you're here tonight and there's still that doorway. Even Sunday has passed, you know, we're on Wednesday. And you're still, you know, like that kid, like I was on the side of the pool. You know, I think about all the times fear kept me out of having fun at swimming parties.
Yeah.
You know, just so afraid the water would be cold. Well, I'd get over that. You'd get done with that in about 30 seconds, you know. But I was the kid, you know, that was on the side of the pool, you know, just tiptoeing in, and time was going by. You know, you had an hour to swim. Time was going by, and about 35th minute, 40th minute, 45th minute, finally I just jump in and realize, my goodness, it's a lot better inside than it was up on the edge. But fear kept me out. And that's what happens to a lot of people. So maybe you're still on the edge, just dipping your toes in, you know, and maybe you're just too afraid to turn that knob, you know. But if not, there will be doorways that will come to you, you know. And fear will accompany those doorways. Amen?
Amen?
Fear will try to get a grip on you. So let's deal with fear tonight. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35 says, "And when the same day when evening was come, He said unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder of the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they woke Him and said, Master, do you not care that we're dying or perishing? So they thought they were as good as gone, you know the story. And He arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, Why are you so fearful?" You could say it this way. Why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith? And so we see here, there's lots of places you could go here, but I have a direction from the Holy Spirit that we're going to go. But we see that Jesus wasn't accepting of fear.
Right.
He said that fear was the wrong response. If God's telling you something, and God, you're trying to trust God, and you know that blessing of obedience is through that doorway, and God's saying something to you, and fear is talking to you, God doesn't find that acceptable. God doesn't find that okay. Amen?
Amen?
In fact, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if He were looking at the disciples and wondering why their response was fear, He's looking at you and saying, why is your response fear? Why is your response worry? Praise God. And so we see here, and don't forget this, the presence of fear is the absence of faith. Right? He says, how is it you are so fearful? What He says, how is it that you're letting fear be here and that you have no faith? So He's saying, fear's here, but faith isn't here. Why? They're not companions. They're like oil and water. They don't mix. Fear and faith do not mix. And so Jesus is saying, why do you have fear? Because that's pushing your faith out. And Jesus knew, hey, faith is how we are victorious. And so the presence of fear is the absence of faith. But now think about this. If there is an absence of faith, the absence of faith means the presence of the devil.
Yeah.
Remember?
That's right.
Ephesians 6, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That means you keep the devil at bay and out of your life when you're in faith. But when you don't bring the shield, it lets the devil right in. So if the presence of fear is the absence of faith is the presence of the devil. And if the devil's present and doing his thing, there's an absence of victory.
Yeah.
A lot of presence, a lot of absence, a lot of victory, you know, whatever there. So let me say all that again. The presence of fear is the absence of faith. The absence of faith is the presence of the devil, or welcomes the presence of the devil, which will welcome the absence of victory. We don't want victory to be gone. We need to deal with fear. Go to Job chapter 1 and verse 10. Job chapter 1 and verse 10. Job is right around the book of Psalms there. I believe it's the book right before Psalms. Job chapter 1. Lots of misconceptions about Job, of course, but if you just read the Bible and, you know, you kind of rightly divide the whole word, you know. There's certain things in the Old Testament that the New Testament clearly explains the Old Testament, right? The Old Testament's types and shadows, you know. The Old Testament was written by a lot of people that didn't have revelation like we have. They didn't know God like we know God. A lot of times the writers of the Old Testament, they didn't know John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. They didn't know God's only a giver of good things, you know. Job, you know, was one of them, right? Job uttered, you know, we know the story of Job. Most people know the story of Job where his life was flipped upside down. I mean, went through a major test and trial, didn't he? And he credited God for it, didn't he? He said, the Lord has given, the Lord taken away. In Job's mind, and he thought God was doing. Now, his heart was right, but his doctrine was way off. But you know, we can't really blame him. He didn't have John chapter 10 and verse 10. I know when things come against me, I'm not pointing the finger at God. Why? John chapter 10 and verse 10. He's here to help me. He's a good God. He's my Father. How much more? Amen? Praise God. And so anyway, Job chapter 1 and verse 10 says this. It says, have you not made, this is the devil. Well, go to verse 9 so you can see the context. Satan answered the Lord. So this is God and the devil talking. Does Job fear God for nothing or not? Have you not, this is devil talking to God, have you not made a hedge about him? See, that's what God does. He makes hedges about people of protection and blessing. And about his house and about all that he has on every side, you have blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has and he will curse you to your face. Well, God, don't do that stuff. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Now, why is that? Remember, Satan's the god of what? This world. All that he has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went out forth from the presence of the Lord. So the Bible here, what we know, some things that we know, is that the devil went forth to destroy Job, and God had formed a hedge around Job. So apparently up to that point, the hedge that God had made of protection was unable to be penetrated by the devil. Right? He didn't go in after him up to that point. Well, and so there might be some things we don't understand. All of it that we don't understand. But it's important to major on what we do know. Don't wander around in the unknowns. Stay focused on what we do know. Amen? Because what we do know can take care of a lot of the unknowns. But what we do know is that Satan messed with Job and that God put the hedge around Job and God restored Job double when it was over. But what I want you to see is, why did the hedge get broken down? Did God all of a sudden remove the hedge and allow Job to just be destroyed and be like, say, devil, here you go, unleash your fury on Job? No, God was putting the hedge around Job. God don't want the devil in your life. What was it? Well, the Bible tells us, again, let's major on what we know. Go to Job chapter 3 and verse 25. Remember this now. The presence of fear is the absence of faith. So if fear kicks faith out, and remember we said the absence of faith welcomes in the presence of who? The devil, the enemy. So Job chapter 3 and verse 25, Job said, for the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. Job, for who knows how long, had been wallowing around and meditating and thinking day and night something fearful. Worried, fear, anxiety all the time. Well, remember, the presence of fear is the absence of faith. The absence of faith welcomes in who? Well, why was the devil then able to break down the hedge that God had built up? Because over time, the hedge kept getting knocked down and down and down through fear and worry. That's why Jesus instructed and rebuked the disciples, guys, wrong response. Yeah. Wrong response. Faith pushes the devil back. Faith is our victory. Fear and faith do not get along. They do not commune together. And if you're going to choose fear, you're saying, faith, get out. And we can't have that. Because when faith is broke down and fear is there, it's a laying out. Basically, Job did is he laid out the red carpet for the devil to come in. Amen. Praise God. It's true. It's true. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. So evidently, fear is a spirit. Yeah. Well, there's only two realms or kingdoms in the spiritual realm. That's right. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the enemy. Yeah. Amen? So if God's not dishing out the spirit of fear and it's a spirit, well, if it's not coming from God's kingdom, where's it coming from? Yeah. The enemy. Now think about this. If fear is what lets the enemy in, which we see that that's the truth, if fear is what pushes faith out and faith is what keeps the devil at bay, what do you think the devil's going to try to get you in? Fear. He's going to try to get you in fear over your life. That doorway of opportunity that we walk through that door and on the other side's blessing, we know that times it comes through the doing of the word, it comes from hearing something in our heart. And we saw principles in the Bible, and we saw principles from my life, and you can have your own testimonies and stories, I'm sure, that sometimes God is going to say things to us through the word and through the spoken word in our heart that is going to be a doorway, and that doorway is going to talk to you. And it's going to tell you how bad it's going to be. And it's going to get you afraid. And your mind, if your mind receives that and your flesh receives that, it's going to make you afraid. But what you're doing when you do that is you're rolling out the red carpet for the enemy. Yeah, that's right. Fear is a hedge destroyer. Fear is a faith killer. It's from the devil. But God's given us power, love, and a sound mind. So it helps us to recognize when there's fear about something that God is telling us to do or God is speaking to us about, if there's any fear there, we know why it's there. It ain't from Him. Amen? Fear must be resisted. If fear is the pushing out of faith and the welcoming in of the enemy, it must be resisted. This is a silly story, but it's just the way I kind of operate. I'm not perfect by any means, my goodness. I hope you know I don't believe that. But when I learned that about this stuff, you know, years back as a Christian, and I started to learn, you know, I'll just kind of even go back even further. Now, this came up in my heart. Ever since I was a little boy, I mean, I'll tell you, I talked about how I should have gone so much farther in baseball. I don't mean this to as a derogatory term. I'm talking just about myself. I was a head case. My mind, I was so tormented in my mind from being a little boy. I remember being so worried and so afraid of things that a little boy shouldn't be worried and afraid about. Because I didn't grow up in an environment that would elicit fear or would push fear. I mean, I had parents that loved me and, you know, grew up in, you know, a good home and things. But I just was terrified of everything. I mean, I remember as a little boy, I had one of those, I don't know if you remember, those beds where you actually could put a tent over your bed. Mine was a G.I. Joe one. And I remember specifically laying in that thing night after night, not getting sleep and going to school dead tired because I was convinced the house was going to burn down that night. Just convinced of it as a little boy. That's terrifying. convinced that someone, you know, was going to break into my, whatever, you know, just convinced of these things and just lived in just fear nonstop. I mean, I was terrified to go to school. And you know, now I look back on it and I see, you know, the devil knew, right? I mean, just trying to, that's one of the reasons I named him Caleb, because Caleb was a man who didn't have fear. He was a man who believed God. I said, my boy's not going to suffer the way that I suffered, because I suffered. I hated it. I hated my childhood. I hated waking up. I mean, just day after day as a kid, and it just went up to the point where it led to, you know, suicidal and depression type things. The devil was just hounding me as a young boy. And so when I learned about all this, I saw where it was coming from. It made me mad. Yeah. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the devil doesn't care. And I, well, you'd know if you saw pictures of me about a cute little kid. I was cute. You know, just, I'll tell you what, let me tell you something. I was getting my hair cut the other day, and the girl was washing someone else's hair. She goes, you have the longest eyelash. I said, if I had a dollar for every time I was told that. I said, when I was younger, I hated being told that, because all the girls thought I put mascara on. I said, I don't put mascara on, amen. Anyways, and so, just, you know, ever since, and so I got to the point where I was just mad about it, you know, mad about fear and thinking, you know. And what I was saying is, the devil didn't care that I was a cute little 4 or 5 year old, 6 year old boy. He don't care. Right. Think he's gonna have mercy? He's gonna come in, you know, because I didn't grow up. Must be evidently the devil can sense when there's calls on people's lives, because you see some things, you hear some things about Dr. Dufresne and people. Like, not that I'm comparing myself, but I'm just saying, you know, even in Christians' lives, you know, that are going to do things for God, he must have a sense about some of those things, because he comes early on, right? And if you don't grow up in a home that's a faith home and knows the Word, those things can come in, amen? And so that's why it's important that we right now, from this point on, where we go forward, we make sure our homes are filled with faith, amen? And right now, if the devil's already condemning people about their past and what they've done, that's the devil, that's not God. Because the past don't exist to God. And the past doesn't need to exist to you either, amen? But for teaching's sake, I needed to point that out, you know. And so anyways, he would torment me. And you know, I would say this too. Don't receive the accusations of the enemy. If God tells you this was this way because of this, then believe it. But if the devil's hampering you with this turned out this way because of, and it's fear and guilt and condemnation, that's not coming from heaven. It's coming from a liar. We don't know all the reasons that things happen and why, right? Praise. That's why we say from this point forward, we know to go forward in faith. But if he's telling you, hey, this happened in your family and this happened in your life because of this, and it's coming with guilt, fear, anxiety, and worry, that's not coming from heaven. It's a big fat lie. If God were to teach you a lesson, he would teach you with grace and mercy and comfort, praise God. Amen? So we don't receive those thoughts. But anyways, the devil didn't care that I was little. And that made me mad, thinking about a nasty devil messing with a little boy. I thought, I was innocent. You know, I came in this world just as innocent as any other kid, and now I'm getting messed with. And so I was the guy that would go on to the theme parks and just hold everybody's purses, hold everybody's coats and bags. You know, I was terrified. I was afraid of everything. Literally afraid of everything. And I remember that. And so I said, you know, I don't want to ride those roller coasters. They don't even look fun to me. Everybody looks like they're having fun when they get off them. And I feel like I'm missing out, but they still don't look fun to me to go upside down and up and down and around. It didn't look fun. But I said, you know what? I'm not letting fear dominate me in this. I know it was stupid, a roller coaster, but I said, no, I'm not letting. And I got on that thing, my first big one ever. Talk about having a good best friend. I'd punch him in the face. That, back then, not now. I rode the Superman at Darien Lake. That's a big roller coaster. And I rode it with Pastor Tim. I finally got me on that thing, and we're going up the hill. And instead of him saying, you're going to be all right, this is going to be good, he kept saying, my goodness, look how high we are. Oh, my gosh, can you imagine if this thing fell off the tracks? That's what he said the whole way up. Now you know why he deserved a punch in the face, amen? But I got on that thing, and I rode it, and I thought, my gosh, that was fun. Let's go again. Let's go again. To the point that I went to Cedar Point. Few times now been there, and that's the roller coaster capital of the world. I mean, they got the biggest and the fastest, and got on every single one of them and rode them just time and time again. Why? Just punching fear right in the face. You know, I used to be so terrified to walk to my tree stand. I've told you this story. In the dark. And I learned about where fear comes from. I mean, I just get so worked up and so sweaty and I get to my stand and just stink the woods up and be freezing cold, you know. That I got to the point where I knew one stand how to get to there without a flashlight. And I just been there so many times that I didn't even put my flashlight out. And I went and stood, and I went there an hour early in the pitch black and just went out in the middle of the woods and just stood there. I said, and I could feel that fear. And so I said, nope, nothing's going to happen to me. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. And I just exercised my faith. Why? Because fear is nothing to mess with. Yeah. Amen. Oh, so Job's fear button was his family, and the devil had his finger pressed right down on it. What's your fear button? Is it your money? Is it your health? Is it your children? Is it a job situation? Is it a family situation? What is your fear button? And does the devil have it just pushed, I mean, just down as hard as he can? If he does, you need to get his finger off that button. Yeah. Amen. Why? Because wallowing around in fear, you are limiting what God can do in that situation. You are hindering and hampering the Father, who's the one that's going to swoop in with His power flowing through your faith to demolish that thing. You're hindering that by fear. So you need to get out of fear. Fear must be resisted. I've seen fear be such... You know what fear does to people is the Bible says we are to be led by the Holy Spirit in all areas, right? You know, it's amazing. I find this even with my own self. I have to give myself a pep talk and a reminder that a lot of times, you know, when people are facing things, they don't know the answer and they just keep struggling. Don't know the answer, don't know the answer. Did you bring it before heaven? Have you brought it to God and actually sought His face and got on your face and sought Him like there's no tomorrow? I mean, if you want the answer bad enough, God's not going to keep it in the dark. God's a show and tell God. In fact, Daniel said God is the revealer of secrets. Isn't that amazing over there when Daniel was going to be killed by King Nebuchadnezzar? If Daniel didn't interpret the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, now how would Daniel know what the dream is unless he was given it by God? Daniel was a man of God who was going to be killed if he didn't interpret a king's dream that was very wicked and unreasonable of the king to expect him to do that. But that was his decree. He was a wicked and unreasonable man, so he was carrying out wicked and unreasonable policies. I'm going to kill you, Daniel, unless you can figure out my dream. Well, God knew what the dream was. But notice, God wasn't dishing out the dream to everybody. Daniel sought God's face, then God gave him the dream. Why? The Bible says, knock and it'll be opened. Seek and then you'll find. Ask and you'll receive. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We have to pursue Him. Why? He can't just dish out answers. He's not legally able to by His Word. That's why we go to Him to get things. Well, the Bible says we're to be led by the Holy Ghost. But I'll tell you what I find is a lot of people, Christians included, is what I'm talking about here, are led by fear. Fear is a leader. It's not a good leader, but it's a leader. Fear will lead people. Fear will dictate what people do with their money. Fear will dictate what people do in life. Fear will dictate what people do in relationships. Fear will dictate what people do in business decisions all the time. They go by fear. They don't go by what God says to do. Amen. Amen. Come on, you know what I'm talking about here. Fear will cause you to act on what you think is best. You know what fear will do? Fear will get you into a ping pong match in your head. Fear will get you into a pros and cons list. Fear will get you into, well, if I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. That's what fear will do. No, that's not how God leads. God leads by His Spirit, not by fear. Isaiah 55 and verse 8 says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So why are we trying, first of all, to figure out things in our heads? Why are we trying to figure out, well, if I do this, I can see the pros. And if I do this, I can see the pros. I can see the cons if I do it this way. Why are we doing it that way? It's not in your head. That's not where the answer's found. Or popular opinion polls or going to neighbors and family members, and what's your opinion on this? God's thoughts are what we want. And a lot of times our thoughts that we are led by are dictated by fear. Right? Amen. Let's think, this is an easy one because it's close to our situation because of what we just did. We asked everybody what? Bring it before heaven, what you're going to do with the parking lot. Bring it before heaven. No manipulation. We're not going around saying, hey, you give this, you give that. Not checking through. You do what God says to do, right? Because it's good to have a pastor that encourages you to obey God. No pressure. All I stood up here and said, all the money's going to come. I don't know how it's all going to come or what avenue or who's going to do what, but it's going to come. Yeah, and I believe if people ask God, he's going to tell them what to do. Well, maybe some people, there was that doorway right there. God said, okay, I want you to do blank. There's the doorway. But instead of walking through that door because God said it, thoughts start coming up. But if you do that, what are you going to do about this? If you do that, it's going to make your checkbook look like this. And then you obey this and this, and you didn't follow the leading of God. I've seen people do it in relationships. Yeah. I know people. I'm not talking about anybody in the churches now, but I know people that have been completely dictated in their life because they had such low self-esteem and they were afraid that they were going to be alone the rest of their life, and they compromised, and now they're paying for it. Just the fear of being alone the rest of their life, and they compromise, and now they're with someone that might just, well, let's just be honest with you, they're now daddy-in-law's now the devil. Yeah. When you marry a non-Christian, your daddy-in-law becomes the devil. Yeah. Because guess what? A non-Christian's daddy is the devil. Oh, wow. I'm just telling you, if you want to be part of that family, go ahead. I don't. Praise God. But I've seen fear dictate people. In their money, in relationships, business decisions, jobs. I've seen fear take people out of their place of being blessed and planted in a job situation or extra hours come up or this and that. You know, there's seasons of that. But not a consistent lifestyle of not being where God is said to be. I'm sorry, but the Bible says one way. I don't care what our thoughts and feelings says. God says we need to hear the word. But I've seen fear do that. Now, there might be seasons where God says, hey, pick up a few extra hours or do this. But God is not telling you to do something to pull you out of your place of visitation. That would be backwards against the Bible. But I've seen fear do that to people. I remember a couple at the Jamestown Church. A job situation had come up, and they were having a little trouble in their finances. And a job situation opened up, and it was Syracuse, New York, I remember. And they were the same type of people testifying about their family, that this, blessing here, blessing that, blessing that. And I remember sitting down with them in my office at the church, you know, and talking with them. And everything they said, they never one time said, God's leading us this way. Everything was based on, if I don't do this, my money will this. Well, that was fear leading them. Fear had a hold on them and just led them. People make decisions all the time, never even consult God. And a lot of times they just consult with what fear is saying. I did it, you know, when we first got married, my first year of marriage, you know, we got married in June of 2004, and my dad had a stroke in April of 2004. And I remember just absolutely walking into fear about him and how the nursing home took care of him. And when he got out of the nursing home, who's going to do it? Nobody can do it as good as me, and I'm the one that's going to care for him. I'm the one that's going to watch him. And my sister was in Virginia, you know, teaching. She couldn't be there full time. You know, she was there when she could. And I moved in, you know, newlyweds moving in with him, and, you know, out of fear. Never asked God about it at all. Totally led by fear. And it caused us a lot of hardship that first year. I mean, a lot of hardship. Well, I was led by fear. Just totally did what I thought was best, you know, and totally never consulted God on it. Amen. A lot of people are just led by fear. We can't be led by fear. Fear can have no place in our lives. Amen. I'll just tell you, I'm not telling you to do this, but I'm just telling you, I'll be example to you. There's been times the Lord's told me to write an offering, and it scared the heck out of me. I said, no, I'm not going to be in fear, and I've upped it a couple $100. I said, no, I'm going to do more, just to blast fear in the face, amen? Yeah. No, I'm going to get on that real close. I'm not even going to hold on. I'm going to put my hands up in the air. Yeah. Amen. I'm telling you, just little things to say, no, I will not let fear dominate me. Fear is not to be messed with, people. What are you dealing with that is so God is so afraid that you won't do what God said to do? Who here is being led in life by fear? You got to stop that. Amen. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 1. We're not going to let fear rule our lives. Anything that right now is in your life that's bringing about fear, it must be resisted. It's not okay. Now let me help you with those people that in their minds, or the devil will tell them this thought and try to get them mad at me. But pastor, you stand up there. You self-righteous self and tell me I shouldn't be afraid. You don't know. You don't know what I'm going through. I don't need to. All I need to know is what you're going through. Faith will win. Praise God. And all I need to know is what heaven's take on it is. Why are you afraid? But you don't understand. Jesus, we're dying in the boat. Why are you afraid? But Jesus, did you not hear me? We're dying. Why are you afraid? Amen. So don't get all huffy and puffy. Say, you don't know, you don't know. I don't need to know. I just need to know faith will work and fear's not good. What did I say to go? Is there even a 2 Chronicles 16? There is, praise God. 2 Chronicles 16. Now, go down to verse 9. I'm going to catch you up. Basically, there's a king. You can read this story for yourself. Who at one time had seen, who at one time encountered a situation that would bring about fear. You ever encountered a situation that bring about fear and worry? Well, he did the right thing. He didn't get into fear. He trusted God. And he was delivered. Well, how many of you have ever been through a trial and then another trial comes? Wouldn't it be nice if we passed one? That would have been great in eighth grade if I passed a test. Never had one the rest of my life. But had them again in eighth grade. Had them in ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade. Had them in college. You know, you're just always getting tests. Well, it's the same way with life. You're always going to get tests. Tested in your life. Well, he passed the one test, trusted God. But then it rose up again, and there was a problem, and it was a big problem. And it looked scary, and I'm sure that the problem was talking to him. Has problems ever talked to you, or am I the only one, or am I just the one hearing voices? Because I have found that my checkbook has a voice. I found that the ministry can have a voice. I found that my body can have a voice. You ever found that out? Amen. These things talk to you, don't they? Have your bills ever had a voice? What do they say? They stick their fingers in their ears and they, blah. You're not going to pay me, na 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 boo boo. Right? They have a voice. You've heard it. You know, the situation's not going to change. It has a voice. Your body, the doctor's report, you get the doctor's report back. Man, it's got a voice to it. It's like things just got lips on it, just yapping away at you. Well, there's no doubt this situation started yapping to him and talking to him real loud, so loud that he forgot to check with God on the situation. Well, because of the situation, he was led by fear. He got into his own head by it. Remember, fear's a leader. It's not a good leader, but it's a leader. He got into his own head, did things his own way, and pick it up here in 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of the whose heart is perfect towards him or mature towards him." Well, a mature heart's not a fearful heart. A mature heart's a faithful heart, one that's full of faith. So basically, in context, he's saying God's looking for people that will trust him and be led by him, not by fear. Look what it says here then. "Herein you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you're going to have wars." And he did. All because he did it his own way. But why did he do it his own way? He let fear dictate him. He let fear lead him. Amen? Amen. Whew. Man. How many times is God trying to get you to walk through a door of blessing by telling you something, saying something through the word, through your heart, and fear's just standing there talking and talking and talking and talking to you? What did this guy miss out on by being led by fear? What are we missing out on by not going through that door and listening to the voice of fear? It's got to be resisted. You're not being led of God. If you make decisions based on fear, worry, pressure, what other people would think, that's not the leading of the Holy Ghost. And a lot of people make decisions based on those things. Pressure, fear dictates what they do. That's not the way to be led by God. Go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. See, when you recognize fear, you recognize the liar that's behind what's bringing the fear your way. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Well, because if you have those thoughts, well, Pastor, that's all well and good, and that sounds like a fantasy land, a life with no fear. Well, let's find out what God thinks about it. We already saw what Jesus thought. He said in Philippians 4 and verse 6, he says, be careful. A more modern translation, like the New King James or the Amplified or the NIV would say, be anxious. Do not fear, do not fret, do not worry about anything. You see that?
Yeah.
About anything. Well, God can't tell you that if it's not possible. That would make him unjust. So that means what you're facing right now that you're afraid of, that's got the devil on the scene, it is possible to not be afraid of that situation. Or God would not have told you that. Well, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. So the first, well, who do we pray to? God. Go with me to 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. I want to give you a few things that you do if you're in fear. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. If you're in fear, the first thing you need to do is resist that and get that thing off of you.
Yeah.
Amen. You got to get it off you. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care. What's your care? Your fear, your worry, your stress, your anxiety. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. What's he saying? Basically he's saying, be anxious for nothing, but go to God.
Yeah.
Well, when you have fear and anxiety, the first thing you do when you go to God is get it off you and get it onto him.
Yeah.
Casting all your worry. Casting all your worry on him. But the point, number one, is not when you're in fear just to cast on him. It's to cast it on him and don't take it back.
Amen.
Don't take it back. How do you take it back? Well, when you've cast it, I'll give you an example. When we moved into that house that I always tell the testimony about, and it put us, I mean, one of the things that was not only getting into the house, it was maintaining the house and being able to pay for the house. And I remember just pacing the property and just, you know, when that fear rises up and that pressure, it's almost like a tangible feeling. Just you feel that, you know, and I mean, for the first, I don't even know how many weeks, I didn't even enjoy that house. I hated going there because it would talk to me, not in a good way. I would lay there at night and just, in my head, how, if this happens, if this happens, if this, it was just fear talking to me. And I thought, wait a second. Sometimes you got to, wait a minute, I'm a faith man. I go to a faith church. I've been taught faith for a reason to use it. And so what I would do is I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, you know, you move me into this house, you're going to have to provide for this. If I give you my faith, you'll give me the provision. My faith will be the avenue that the provision can flow through. And so I said, you didn't move me in here to take it away from me. You didn't move me in here so we would lose the place. So I said, Father, I give you this right now. I said, this is yours. I cast it onto you. Well, taking it back would be like when the house starts talking to me, listening to it. But when you don't take it back, you say, oh, no, that's not my problem. Talk to God about that. I don't have it anymore. I casted it onto him. You know the story. I told you I sat at the table one day. Caleb came to me with a little toy. It was broke. I could fix it. You know, it's rare that I can. But this one I could. You know, when they'd get like kitchens and fun little toys, I wasn't the one putting them together. Don't tell my father-in-law that, please. It was her. I'm terrible with this stuff. I'll tell you. You don't want me around helping you. You remember what Jim's brother Rick called me? I helped him build a barn one time. And I'm hammering away. And he looked at me and he said, I got a new nickname for you. It's Lightning. I thought, that sounds good. Lightning. I'm going to have to get that tattooed on my arm or something. I'm like, Lightning. And he said to me, he looked at me like, that's not a good thing, he said. And I said, why are you calling me Lightning? I thought I must work quick. I must just be one of his best workers. He said, because you never hit the same place twice. I mean, I was just all over the place. You don't want me around. But I could fix it this time. Caleb brought me a toy. I said, I can fix that. So I'm starting to work out, taking a little bit of time. And he comes running, grabs that thing up, runs away with it. All disappointed and sad. It's not fixed. Well, he brings it back to Daddy, puts it on the table. Start working on it, grabs it, runs away again. About the third time he did that, he took it away. I said, the more you keep taking it, the more I'm not going to be a help. And the revelation came to me. That's what we do with God. We cast it onto him, and then when the house started talking to me, we start, oh my gosh, yeah, you're right. What am I going to do? That's taking it back. That's saying, okay, I got this, Lord. But keeping it on him is saying, oh, no, I already casted that on God. That's his to deal with. Not my problem anymore. Amen? Amen? So cast it on him. Don't take it back. Number two, Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Isn't this better than swimming in a pool tonight? I mean, come on. I mean, swimming in a pool sounds fun. Don't get me wrong, but we're learning how to deal with fear tonight. Amen. Isaiah 26, 3 says, I will keep him in perfect peace. Well, someone that's in fear is not in perfect peace. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Perfect peace is dependent upon what you do with your mind. Perfect peace is not dependent for the faith person on the situation having to change. He's saying you can walk in perfect peace while hell is going on around you. In fact, Christian, overcomer, more than a conqueror, that's what the Bible calls you, the greater one on the inside of you, you better get willing to be comfortable and thrive under pressure. Because he says, I'll prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. He said, the doorway of opportunity has many adversaries. If you want to go higher, you want to go farther, you want to go stronger, you better be okay with the pressure and the opposition. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. It's the truth. And you better learn to thrive in peace and to resist fear. It's easy to resist fear when there's nothing to be fearful of. You better be able to be peaceful and a person of faith who can smile and rejoice and speak the word and walk out what you need to walk out while there's enemies all around you, while the debt's all around you, while the job's talking to you, while the money's talking to you, while this is talking to you, that's talking to you. Someone that just, no, I'm full of faith and power. God's good. It's going to turn. If you're not, you're not a faith person. Faith, what makes a faith person is not the faith person that can rejoice when there's nothing going on. Anybody can do that. Anybody can rejoice when all the money's in the bank. Anybody can rejoice when everything's fallen into line and you're in the doctor's report and everything you're believing. Anybody can do that. That's why we say the voice of faith is praise. Because the person that can praise in the storm, the person that can praise when the walls are the highest, when the chains are the tightest, when the bars on the prison doors are the thickest, they're the ones that are the faith people. Paul was not just rejoicing Paul outside the prison. He was rejoicing Paul inside the prison. That's a faith person. Praise God. And the Bible says that that perfect peace is only available if you do that with what you do with your mind. So what am I saying about it? Renew your mind to what he says about your problem. Whatever's given you fear, what has God said about it? And there again, it comes down to what we talked about Sunday. Which one are you going to believe? Which voice are you going to believe? So you need to do something with your mind. Once you cast it onto God, it didn't stop there for me. Lord, I thank you. This house you brought me into, I cast that fear onto you. Well, then the thoughts start talking to me. Well, I need to renew my mind. Perfect peace is only available what I do with my mind. So what did I do? I got into Philippians 4:19. I got into all the provision scriptures, how he's the God that provides, the God that blesses, you know. And then when they would come, I'd renew my mind to that. And it didn't matter what that was saying. I bet you anything, none of you can be talked out of your salvation. If Brother Hagin, lots of steps higher. If Jesus Christ walked through the doors and told you you weren't saved, what would you say? I'd say, sir, I'm sorry, but I know I'm born again because the Word says. That's like even Brother Hagin, he said when Jesus told him, you know, that we need to do something about the devil, that the Bible doesn't say that God's going to do anything about the devil. He said, I know, Jesus, you're standing right before me, but you're going to have to back that up with Scripture. Right? And if Jesus himself walked in and said, Pastor Mike Anderson, you're not born again, I'd say, I'm sorry, sir, but I am because the Word says so. Amen. But you can't be talked out of your salvation. Right. Your mind is so renewed to the fact that you are born again. Why can't you get your mind there that your bills will be paid? That the health... It's the same word. It's the same God. Why would you... You wouldn't even listen to it. I mean, I could sit here in your ear all night. You're not born again. You're not born again. You're not born again. Yes, I am, Pastor. You're crazy. Well, why when the devil says, you're not going to make it, you're not going to make it, you're not going to make it, you're going to be sick, that's going to be... Why do we listen to that? Because we haven't renewed our minds to what God has said. We're gung-ho on salvation, but these other things maybe we're a little weak on. Well, how do we build ourselves up? By the hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing of the Word. So renew your mind to what He says about it. And then last but not least, I'm sure there's other things we could do, but this is what the Spirit had for me tonight. Was stay sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Once you've cast your cares, once you have renewed your mind, and the renewing of the mind, remember, is not a one-time thing. Remember what renewing the mind is like, combing your hair. The hair doesn't stay combed any more than the mind stays renewed. You know, I wake up, I got to do something with my hair. You know, the colics are shooting in every which way. You know, I got to do something every day. I got to comb my hair every day. Just like got to renew your mind every day. Why? Because the problems are going to talk to you every single day. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So once you renew your mind and you're staying in that, stay sensitive to the Holy Ghost and obey His leadings. Why? God knows the way to get you out of that thing that's causing you problems. Amen. Amen. That financial problem, that physical problem, that job situation, whatever, fill in the blank, that family problem that's eliciting so much fear and so much worry in your life, God knows how to get you out of it. But you got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. You got to stay sensitive and obey His leadings. I remember thinking about how fear leads. We wanted this house so bad. And I remember seeking God on what price to pay for it. And I knew in my heart, she knew in her heart the price to offer. But it was tens of thousands of dollars less than she was asking. And the realtor had told me, this is just stuff talking to you. There's people willing to pay full price, and if full price won't get it, there were people that said, we'll pay more for it. Well, that starts talking to you. God's telling me to offer something, a certain amount of money, and fear's telling me, you idiot. You offer that, and they're going to tell you, you ain't getting the house, and you're going to watch someone else move into the house of your dreams. Thank God I wasn't led by fear. Thank God I wasn't led by fear. So many people make decisions based on fear. Stayed sensitive to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost said, no, you offer this. We don't need to go into all the story. And she took our offer. Tens of thousands of dollars less, and she had offers on the table to pay her more than her asking price. But, now, I could have still got the house and gotten into fear and said, oh my gosh, well, let's tell her we'll pay full price just because... we're afraid. We'd have got the house, but the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. If I would have gotten that house for the price that she was asking for, there'd be sorrow today knowing, oh my gosh, I'm paying tens of thousands of dollars more than I didn't need to, all because I was someone that was a slave to fear. Come on, people. Don't let it happen. You need to recognize it. Before you get rid of a problem, you got to recognize there's a problem. If you recognize there's fear, it's not acceptable. Unless you want to dine with the devil, it's not acceptable. Amen? Well, you had your help tonight. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We're so grateful and so thankful for the Word of God. Oh, Lord, we're not trying to downplay or be not sensitive to the fact that people face things. I know, Lord, there's things that have come across my plate that have, I mean, made me tremble, literally tremble and sweat and be in fear, Father, and lose sleep over. I know people face things. But Lord, the truth is that you're the answer. Faith is the answer. And Lord, you've given us all the equipment that we need to get to the other side of these things. So Lord, I just pray for every single person. Father, I pray their eyes would be open to this message, Lord. And Lord, if there's fear now, they'll get rid of it and they'll start doing the Word and start obeying your voice and not be a slave to fear. We need to be a slave to you, Father. We need to be, and what I mean by that is we'll just do whatever you say, you know. We'll just obey whatever, we'll be a servant to what you say, Father. So help us tonight. Help people, Father, encourage them. Lord, I just pray that they would know Hebrews 13 and verse 5, it says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what you're facing here tonight, no matter how bad it looks, no matter what they're saying, no matter what the money's saying, no matter what the doctors are saying, remember, God said, I won't leave you, I'll be right there with you. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We love you tonight. We glorify you with heads bowed and eyes closed. I know as I look around, everybody in here has accepted Jesus, but if you're listening through the archives in the future or right now by live stream, don't let another second go by without making sure that your eternity is established. The Bible says the way to heaven is through Jesus. And so it's not through church attendance and being a good person and giving money and doing religious backflips and jumping through religious hoops. It's all about accepting Jesus. And the only way you can accept Jesus is twofold. Number one, believing in Him. And number two, receiving Him. So if you're listening to me right now, you've never received Jesus, you thought you got to heaven a different way. Nope, the Bible says in Romans 10:13, call on the name of the Lord to be saved. In John 3:16, it says, you must believe in order to not perish but have everlasting life. So if you're listening, say, I've never done that before. Just cry out to Him. Say, Lord, I do believe in You. I believe You're real. Thank You for dying on that cross for me. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. That's an invitation to Him, and He will gladly accept. If you've received Jesus for the first time, let us know. Shoot us an email. Give us a phone call. We want to set you up in a good Bible teaching church and help you going forward. Father, we love You. I just feel my heart. We need to wait on Him a second. So just worship Him where you're at. Just praise Him. We bless You, Lord. We honor You and glorify You.